sand and the silt, they still fire.
Senate will come to order. Would all senators indicate their presence by voting?
For a good sportsman, you know. I'm perfectly happy not to.
Secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 18 members present.
Our chaplain this morning is Mr. Dan Plotnick, lay rabbi of the Jewish community.
Let us take this moment to pray, for it is the greatest power on earth. Let's take this time to love and to be loved, because it is a God-given privilege. Let us take time to be friendly, for it is the road to happiness. Let us take this time to laugh, for it is the music of the soul. Let us take time to give, for it is too short a day to be selfish. Let us take this time to work, for it is the price of success. Let us take time to do charity, for it is the key to heaven. Amen.
Certification of the journal. Senator Croft, would you secretary note the presence of Senator Croft?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 107th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement number 35.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an act to amend the journal for the 107th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement 35.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. Introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message of April 25. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill number 593, retail installment contracts and retail charge agreements, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for House Bill 593, same title. Message of April 25. The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill number 872 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to interest rates used in calculating reserves for life insurance policies and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 927 by the Finance Committee, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Natural Resources and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill number 929 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services Violent Crimes Compensation Board and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
Those are the only messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
There is a communication of April 21st from Ernest W. Mueller, Commissioner, Department of Environmental Conservation, submitting proposed amendments to the tanker safety law.
I'll refer that matter to the Resources Committee for such action as may be appropriate.
That is the only communication.
Standing Committee reports.
The Resources Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 59, Forest Resources and Practices, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute and reports that back as follows. Senator Poland, Chairman, and Senators Meland and Tillian signed do pass. Senator Huber signed do not pass unless amended. Senators Butrovich and Sumner signed no recommendation. 59 has a further referral to finance. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 208, Municipal Organization Grants, and reports it back as follows. Senator Orsini, Chairman, and Senator Hackney signed do pass. Senator Ferguson signed do pass if amended. Senator Sumner signed no recommendation. 208 has a further referral to finance. The Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill 498, Disciplining of a Licensed Guide, and Senators Bradley and Sumner signed do pass with an amendment. Senator Hackney signed, no recommendation. 498 has a further referral to resources. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 533, Planning for Public Facilities of Municipalities, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, and reports it back as follows. Senator Orsini, Chairman, signed, do pass. Senator Sumner, Ferguson, and Hackney signed, no recommendation. 533 has a further referral to finance. The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 51, Disposal of M1 Rifles to the Department of Defense, House Bill Number 704, Special Appropriation to Department of Natural Resources, Division of Land and Water Management, House Bill Number 877, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Labor, Industrial Safety, State Inspection, and recommends they be placed on the April 26th calendar. Signed, Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring Senators Coletta and Homan. These do appear on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Resolution Number 13, supporting construction of small boat moorage at Anchorage, and recommends it be placed on the April 28th calendar. Signed, Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring Senators Coletta and Homan. This resolution does appear on Friday's calendar. There are no other rules committee reports.
Special committee reports.
There are no special committee reports this morning.
Senate resolutions.
Senate Resolution Number 15, by the Rules Committee by request, urging Congress to maintain its diplomatic relations and the Mutual Defense Treaty with the Republic of China.
Mr. President.
Senator Ziegler.
I'm afraid I'm guilty of an error. The State Affairs Committee the other day passed out, announced it passed a joint resolution. And I should have done that when I had it prepared by Legislative Affairs Agency. I merely wanted to introduce a Senate resolution. This is verbatim to the one that's now in Senate rules in the form of a joint resolution. And if the State Affairs Committee co-committee chairman don't have any serious objections, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the simple resolution be sent directly to the rules and the State Affairs reference be waived. It would just be a tedium for them.
We have no objection at all, Mr. President. As a matter of fact, we have very many more of those. We should resurrect the powerful Federal Relations Committee of the past. That's the appropriate place for them.
The State Affairs referral has been waived. I take the motion also to be that the resolution be put placed on the calendar, notwithstanding the fact that there's no due passing.
But we'll have a due pass when it comes out of rules and probably on Friday's calendar.
Very well. The referral will be directed to rules.
There are no other resolutions.
Brings us to Senate bills.
There are no Senate bills.
Brings us to our calendar. Senator Huber. Senator stand at ease.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 101 amended, requesting the Board of Fisheries to consider establishing fish quotas, which encourage stable monthly harvests of bottom fish and crustaceans.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I move that the unanimous consent to return to second reading for Pacific
Amendment. We're in second reading.
We are in. This is a concurrent resolution. Never goes to third reading, so we are automatically in second reading and it is subject to amendment, sir.
Move
Amendment number 3. Amendment number 3 by Senators Orsini and Huber, page 1, line 7, and page 1, line 19 of the amendments that have been distributed.
Is there any request that the Secretary read the amendment that has been distributed and read to all members? Hearing no request for the amendment to be read, the reading of the amendment is waived. Senator Huber?
I have an amendment to the amendment there, and I'd like to move
the amendment to the amendment. It strikes two words from the amendment. Move the amendment to the amendment, and the Secretary will read the amendment to amendment number 3, submitted by Senator Huber.
Amendment to amendment number 3. On page 2 of amendment number 3, on the third line, strike the word hand. There isn't a word hand in the third line.
Second
line?
It's in the third line on my copy. Second page.
Fourth line, strike the word.
On the second page.
Fourth line, strike the word commercial.
Senate will stand at ease. Back to order, Senator Cini.
Mr. President, I greatly appreciate the assistance of Senator Huber. However, I'd like to remove that my name be stricken from this amendment.
Without objection,
Okay, the amendment to the amendment.
Without objection, so. Senator Huber.
Mr. President, the amendment carries all of the things that Mr. Orsini had yesterday.
Are you speaking now?
And I thought we were in agreement, and I wish to withdraw the amendment.
Is this amendment number three with the amendment, sir?
Amendment to the amendment, add the amendment.
The amendment to the amendment, and amendment number three is withdrawn, without objection.
Hooray.
I have an amendment number four by Senator Orsini. Is the amendment before you, it starts page one, lines 5 through 25. Add the following.
Does any member wish the amendment read? Hearing no request for the reading of the amendment, the reading of the amendment is waived. Does any
President, I move amendment number four.
You have the floor, sir.
Just to clarify, amendment number four would delete all the language on the existing resolution starting at line 5 and insert in its place the language existing there. Mr. President, this is the language of a House resolution that is still residing in the House Resources Committee. I think the problem is that sports fishing in the Anchorage area is a matter of serious concern to the 100,000 or so sports fishermen in that area. We have not in the past gotten what we consider to be a fair shake in the salmon fishing in the Cook Inlet area. About 3% of the total Cook Inlet salmon in the past several years have been taken by sports fishermen. 97% of the salmon have been taken by commercial fishermen. When you look at it as a per fisherman basis, the licensed commercial fishermen have taken an average of 3,290 fish each, and the licensed sports fishermen have taken one fish. I think it's pretty inequitable. There is a legislation in on the subject, and I hate to do it by legislation rather than relying on the Board of Fish to deal equitably with the situation, but they haven't, so must take this other route. However, that piece of legislation has resided in the Resources Committee for quite some time, shows no indication of moving, so I'm afraid it's necessary to take this kind of a step here on the floor. The similar problem is happening over on the House side with this resolution, which is a House resolution in the House Resources Committee. It's simply not moving. So in order to at least get the issue before us on the floor here, I've made this motion to delete the material in 101 and insert this language. What it does is request that the Board of Fish open the salmon season in Cook Inlet from July 1st to August 15th to basically commercial subsistence fishing.
Senator Tillion has not yet spoken on the resolution.
Rise to a point of information.
Your state's point of information, sir.
The Senate Resources Committee is meeting on a slightly different tack on this subject. It was brought to my attention as a result of the State Affairs Committee introduced resolution on the subject. They'll have it before us. It's one that essentially requests the Board of Fish and Game to meet again on their decision rather than giving them direction, specific direction on the subject. I think it's more appropriate method.
Senator Tillion.
This basically was covered by Senator Curtula of the Resources Committee. Chairman, I'm sure, could reinforce this. This isn't a subject that the legislature is going to be denied to look at. It's a case of statistics again, though I must answer. When you start comparing the sports take and you start comparing a major red salmon run and a pink salmon run that's not touched by sportsmen, you can make numbers do anything you want. The commercial fishery of Cook Inlet's been closed for king salmon for 12 years now. They do take some silver. I personally happen to be in favor of letting the sportsmen take the kings. I have no argument on that. It's one of the things I was going to fight the Huber Amendment on, which attempted to open commercial trawling west of Cape Suckling, which we closed to protect those runs. But coming back to this resolution, one of the big things facing Alaska in this next year is getting geared up for the bottom fishery. And I'd appreciate it if we'd leave this resolution alone, get it through, and start taking care of that fishery. And while I sympathize with Senator Orsini's problem on the board action, well, let's take care of that separately.
Point of information.
Senator Ray.
Is it my understanding that there is presently a resolution residing in the Resources Committee that substantially says the same thing as this resolution right here? From what we get out.
I was my understanding that was a statement of Senator Petula.
Mr. President,
it's recently introduced, and that I know it's a matter of discussion because the Administrative Assistant Resources Committee came over to check on some amendments to that legislation, and I'm sure that it's going to come out. I'm just guessing it, otherwise they wouldn't put that much effort and study into it.
Mr. President, just to clarify Senator Ray's question, this resolution is in the House Resources Committee. Mr. President, I would
Senator
like
Ray.
The chair to question the chairman of the Senate Research Committee. Is there, Madam Chairman, a resolution relating to fishing in Cook Inlet that is similar to this in Virginia?
Senator Coleman.
Yes, Mr. President, there is.
In essence, then this would possibly be discharged in the Research Committee? Yes, sir.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, there's a bill and relating to fishing in Cook Inlet, but it's a different subject. I think it's more relating to the recent decision by the Board of Fish in relation to the their recent decision not to allow any king salmon fishing. This resolution here is much broader, and it relates not just to that particular action, but to the action of the Board of Fish over, and previously the Board of Fish and Game, over many years' time in their highly favorable treatment to the commercial fishing interests and their lack of adequate consideration to the sports
commission. Senator Huber, speaking for.
Mr. President, now that you're trying to give me the floor, I'll bring up the point of order rather than interrupting by bringing up the point of order. The amendment by Senator Orsini is completely out of order because the amendment does not comply with the title of the bill. This is a bill dealing entirely with quotas, monthly quotas on bottom fish and crustaceans, and he's bringing salmon into it without changing the title in any way, shape, form, or manner. It's completely out of order. And I might add, Mr. President, that as long as I'm on the floor, that maybe the reason that the amendment is resolution isn't getting the attention that Senator Orsini thinks it deserves is because maybe it's not as knowledgeable as it should be.
Mr. President.
Senator Orsini.
In response to the point of order, in fact, Senator Huber will note lines 5 on down, which include the title, are in fact deleted from the existing resolution, and there is a new title which fits the amendment exactly.
Question.
Senator Croft.
I'd like to ask you, through the chair, the chairman of the Senate Resource Committee, what is the number of the resolution that's identical to the Orsini amendment that she said was in her committee?
Mr. President, I did not say it was identical to this. We have about three. We have a bill and I believe two resolutions regarding the Cook Inlet fisheries in the Resources Committee. And Mr. President, if I may continue since I have the floor, the statements made by Senator Tillian and Senator Katula regarding a resolution requesting the Board of Fish to take another look at their action was being introduced. State Affairs introduced it, and it came to the Resources Committee, and we were going to change the language slightly. We conferred with the State Affairs Chairman. He agreed that resolution is being drawn up, and action will be taken on it expeditiously. I hope all members of the Resources Committee are there at that time. I do not believe that it is the place of this body to dictate the fine points of fish or game management. This is why we have boards of fish and a board of game. And we have added two sportsmen to the board of fish. So hopefully if that body responds to our request to have a meeting. We will get action. I, too, am concerned about the sports fishermen of Cook Inlet. And we are taking action, but I believe we are taking it in the proper method by requesting the board to review their actions rather than for us to start trying to manage fish and game on this floor, because if we're going to do that, we're going to be here 13 months of the year.
Senator Orsini?
President, I concur with many of Senator Poland's statements, and I'm sure that she would be the first one to try and fight for her commercial fishermen in her district if she felt that they were being maligned or not receiving their fair share of the resource. And it's strictly out of frustration over the past several years that I'm attempting to take this tack. I would hope that Senator Katula's or State Affairs resolution is in fact adequate to meet the situation. I would hope that further that it does pass this body, both this side and the House side, in some substantially viable form. But I have, in the past years in the legislature, it's been my opinion that the commercial fishing interests are very dominant over the resource, and I'm hopeful of some positive action.
We have before us amendment number 4. Is there any further discussion or debate on amendment number 4?
Question.
Would so many as favor the adoption of amendment number 4 say aye?
Aye.
Those opposed, nay?
No.
The nays have it. Amendment number 4 is lost.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move the Senate to adopt SCR 101.
Is there any discussion or debate?
Question.
The question is, shall the Senate adopt Senate Concurrent Resolution number 101 as amended? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does each senator wish to change his or her vote? Would the Secretary take the vote?
The roll shows 20 yeas.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution number 101 as amended has been adopted.
House Bill number 704 by Representative Cooper, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Land and Water Management, and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered this bill and reports it back without recommendation. Signed, Senator Poland, Chairman, concurring Senators Butrovich, Huber, and Killian. The Finance Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, Chairman, concurring Senators Meeland, Killian, and Orsini. Senator Homan signed, no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill number 704, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Land and Water Management, and providing for an effective date.
Please stand at ease, Mr. President. Senator Ray?
I had a concern on the second section there, and I took the at ease to ask this, the Chairman of the Finance Committee. He has assured me that the Legislative Affairs Agency says that is the proper way to do this. I'm not altogether that convinced. However, I'll take the word of the Finance Chairman.
President.
Senator Katula.
Apparently, the accompanying letter of intent, presuming that it ties to Senate Bill 704, asks for a study with suggestions for legislation to assist in expediting that which we are now seeking to do through providing money. It seems like perhaps maybe the cart and the horse mixed up here. Maybe we ought to have all that effort before we start appropriating money to do that which perhaps the department doesn't want to do or isn't providing us with sufficient information why they aren't doing. I wonder if I could hear from someone on this bill how this is going to, under present statute or under present regulation, assist in getting more of these land and water applications filings before it. Excuse me.
Senator Poland?
Mr. President, as you well know, this bill came out of the Senate Resources Committee with no recommendation from all members present. We object to the amount of money that it takes to solve this problem, but we also recognize that the problem must be solved. Last year, this body put out a bill called the Permitting Bill, and it was passed by both bodies and has been enacted into law. The excuse, the foot dragging, has been that things were not classified to get over to DEC to enable them. They're ready to go on the permitting system. They have one-stop shopping center for permits, which is an optional thing. A person is not required to use that, but they do have that option of using it. So in order that the paperwork that is necessary to be done before DEC receives the applications for permits, the Division of Lands and Waters has to do their background work on it, and they have had many employees leave the department, some of those that understood all this paperwork and could really get it out, and we received testimony in committee that right now they're operating with only a couple of people that really understand what it's all about, and they desperately need this staff to enable these classifications and permit applications to move on. And we passed the bill out because we feel that the citizens of Alaska are certainly entitled to have these acted upon and in a timely fashion.
Mr. President, it's just that the study request was accompanied or with the funding that was reached for my question. I suspect, no matter how much funding we put in, though, there's going to be a great deal of foot dragging in any event. I think that's the policy of the present administration.
Any further discussion or debate, Senator Butrovich?
Mr. President, I just want to concur in the feelings of Senator Ray as to the manner in which this is being handled. We have May and June left in this year. And why I object to this is I feel that the department should have come in and requested a supplemental appropriation to carry them to July 1st of 1978. Now, whatever they needed of the $1,200,000 for 1979 should have appeared in the natural resources budget request. For some reason this year, we've been getting bills like this. And what they do is distort what is actually a budget item. In other words, they get it through an appropriation bill here, and it's forgotten. Then they come in with a budget request for the full year, and how do you know how much of that budget request is actually padded because of the fact that they've got the balance of the $1,200,000 that they can't possibly spend in the next 2 months? Do you get my point? That is what I object to. They need this money. They've got a backlog that won't quit. But the method, in spite of what legislative affairs may have to say on the subject or legislative finance, it is not a good practice. I vote for the bill naturally. They need the money. But we are getting into a bad practice here because you're losing control of the dollars again. The finance committees are losing control of the dollars. We don't know. We can't. We simply can't in the time we have break out a budget well enough to know that they're not double shooting us on some of these dollars.
Is there any further discussion or debate?
Question.
Mr. President.
Senator Holman.
No one has indicated the number, the magnitude of the problem. We have received a backlog summary number of cases, and as of April the 1st, 78, there are 5,435 applications being backlogged. I think maybe Senator Petula was right when he indicated that this might reflect the people service aspect of this administration. We have people, according to the division's testimony, that have been waiting 3, 5, and up to 10 years for the completion and reaction to their application.
Senator Ray?
Is this cadastral engineering? Is this what it is mostly? Some of it is, as I understand it, applies to three sections. cadastral engineering being one of them, classification another, and land and water management another.
Any further discussion or debate?
Question.
Question is, shall House Bill Number 704 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary, take the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
And so House Bill 704 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move an action item to consent to roll call vote on House Bill 704. Roll call vote on
Is there any objection? Being no objection, so ordered. And so House Bill 704, with an effective date, has passed the Senate.
House Bill Number 877, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Labor, Industrial Safety, State Inspection, and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Management Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and Senator Coletta signed do pass. Senators Rohde and Ray signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, Chairman, concurring, Senators Meehlin, Tillian, and Orsini. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an action item to consent to the rule of suspension of House Bill 877 on advance of third reading in favor of final passage.
Yes. Objection, Senator Ray.
Just for information purposes, I don't know what system that the drafters are using in these bills, but Section 2. Lapsing something that already automatically lapsed at the 1st of July of last year. So I don't understand what they're talking about there. Concession laws were last in 1977. That would be, and the funds would already lapse. So what are they talking about?
That's a separate section.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, I checked this out of Legislative Affairs too because it's the first time I had seen something like this. What happened was that when we passed the 1978 budget, we requested that half of the fees or half of their budget come from program receipts which would have been fees. And what we're doing here is lapsing the program receipts which are not going to utilize anything. And basically, Section 2 that has with regard to the other portions of the bill, what happened was that the fees did not materialize because they had a very poor accounting system, record keeping system. By the time they found out what type of fees they were generating, they found they didn't have sufficient funds. And so in order to allow for a couple of people to not become laid off, which would be a pressure vessel inspector, and two other positions, we need to appropriate general fund money. And when they testified before the Finance Committee, they seemed to indicate that there was a great need for this as soon as possible.
Senator Ray.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the explanation, and I thank the Chairman of Finance. I would like to point out here's just one instance, again, of the administration or the divisions or the separate departments are coming in the back door and putting people on under false pretense. They say that they need these people and that they'll put them on and they can be paid for by the inspection fees, by whatever is coming forward, and then they turn right around and here you are, we're going to pick it up anyway. I think it's a delusion for us to believe these people when they come in and ask for something to be paid out of inspections and the rest of it and sell us for that kind of garbage. And, fool me once, shame on me, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. And they fool us every day with this kind of stuff. I don't understand why we put up with it.
The motion has been made to advance the bill from second to third reading. There is objection. The question is, shall House Bill Number 877 be advanced from second to third reading? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his vote? Secretary, take the roll.
Senator Ziegler?
Okay.
Secretary, take the roll.
Roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
And so House Bill number 877 is in third reading. Is there any discussion or debate?
I believe that Senator Sack is probably explaining the bill as well as I'm going to prior to 1978, but the number of inspections was taken entirely out of the general fund. And when they were asked to raise funds of their own, they had a lot of erroneous sort of information, and they came up with such exorbitant fees that when the regulations were before the first hearing, a lot of crack from the public and also from the legislators. So now they are on the computer system, as Senator Sack has said, and they are coming up with modest increases. It's $55,000 and carrying through from the money will be gone by April 30th, and the inspection department will close. Will, of course, carry on to that fiscal year without my money. The elevator part of the inspection still comes out of the general fund. This is strictly the vessel inspector and whatever inspector.
Any discussion, any further discussion or debate?
Mr. President?
Senator Petrovich?
Unless I'm mistaken, the bill was not read in third reading, was it?
Did the secretary?
No, I did not read it the third time.
Your point of order is well taken, sir. Would the secretary read the bill?
House Bill number 877, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Labor, Industrial Safety, State Inspection, and providing for an effective date.
Is there any further discussion or debate? The question, question is, shall House Bill 877 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
And so House Bill number 877 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an act unanimous consent to the roll call vote on House Bill 877.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And so House Bill 877 with an effective date has passed the Senate.
Senate Joint Resolution number 51 by the State Affairs Committee relating to the disposal of M1 rifles by the Department of Labor of Defense. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Willis, co-chairman, concurring Senators Huber, Bradley, and Ray. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an action item consent to the rule to suspend the
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Joint Resolution number 51. Relating to the disposal of M1 rifles by the Department of Defense.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, several months ago, the Department of Defense announced their plans to destroy many tens of thousands of M1 rifles. This is a problem that I think the federal government has not taken hold of and not resolved. These rifles are valuable, but like many other pieces of valuable surplus that the federal government has, surplus that could be used, in, for example, in the way of heavy equipment, small generating plants in rural Alaska, in areas where it would never be obtained. This has been a consideration. Many people in the state have been a concern of mine. It ill serves the people of the United States and the people of Alaska to see destruction of federal property, property that was paid for by their tax money. And I would hope the Senate would join me in reminding the federal government that we don't approve of this destruction of property.
Is there any further discussion or debate?
Mr. President,
Senator Orsini?
Question for the Chair of Senator Rohde. When they destroy them, what, is it thrown in the trash, or is it the metal at least recovered, and what happens to it?
Senator Rudy?
Mr. President, the rifles are cut in half with torches, and then the metal is sold for scrap purposes.
Mr. President?
In effect, we're sort of beating swords in the plowshares.
Senator Pola?
Mr. President, I think we all agree with Senator Rohde on the federal government destroying valuable property. The only thing that concerns me about the resolution is on line 22, line 21 and 22, and it says, institute a meaningful program to make them available to deserving Americans. And I really would like to see a definition of a deserving American as far as an M1 rifle is concerned.
Mr. President.
Senator Rohde?
I didn't draft that section of the bill. In law now, there are provisions for the Director of Civilian Marksmanship to issue rifles for match purposes. The M1 rifle is capable of match accuracy, and they are used for military matches, and that is the definition of deserving Americans. This has been done with rifles since the early 1900s, and has been a common practice and still is a practice to distribute these rifles to those people who do conduct military matches.
Is there any further discussion or debate?
Mr. President.
Senator Petullo?
Another item is that in the early days of settlement to the Matanuska Valley, they were provided the old Springfield rifles for the purpose of personal protection and so on. They were provided $7 a piece or something. It's the same sort of program.
Senator Gilbert?
Mr. President, I'd like to rise in support of the resolution and partial answer to Senator Pola. Every American marksman and sportsman is certainly a deserving recipient if he wishes to buy one of these. These are not rifles that are not firearms that are not suitable for use in sporting and marksmanship. They are not controlled under the Federal Firearms Act. They're not full automatic weapons and so forth. So these are all suitable for sport and marksmanship uses.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Senator Ray.
What is sport and marksmanship? Does that come under festivities or social clubs? Such as a pan-American league?
Is there any further discussion or debate?
Mr. President.
Senator Huber.
I don't know. There's some 2 million of us members of the National Rifle Association that come under that class.
Is there any further discussion or debate? The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 51 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Will the Secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 absent.
And so Senate Joint Resolution Number 51 is passed the Senate. Includes the data calendar. Unfinished business.
Mr. President.
Senator Pola.
I would like to ask to be excused May 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th to attend the meeting of the National Marine Fisheries Advisory Board in Washington, D.C.
Is there any objection?
There is objection. I would like to amend that.
Excuse me, Senator Ray. I meant excused from a call of the Senate.
Is there any objection to the request to be excused from a call of the Senate for the date indicated by Senator Poland? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The Secretary will so note. Senator Curtula?
I move an asking ask consent. I'll be excused from a call of the Senate next Monday.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, Senator Curtula will be excused from a call of the Senate Monday next. Senator Curtula?
Further under, I think, continuing our old business, Mr. President, are you on top of the problems in the Pioneer's Home decision that's being attempted to be made in the Anchorage area? You might well want to appoint a committee. If I wasn't running for office, I would say that the State Affairs Committee would be the group that should be inspecting this right away, because there's a argument, I think, between administration, Department of Administration, Health and Social Services over what is a Pioneer's Home, what its functions are, and it's coming to a real head in Anchorage. And I think somebody ought to get on top of it. Remember very well that it's been a continuous legislative decision to provide for programs for pioneers with definition of who they are. And we don't want to get tangled up in the federal definitions. And I think it's right at a head. And if nothing else is done, I suppose it will be incumbent upon our committee to do it. But you might well want a special committee that's completely objective, not campaigning or running for office to do this, because it's too important to get tangled up in some kind of a political debate.
Senator Hackney, would you take on that obligation to inform yourself as to the nature of the dispute and see what action should be taken?
My goodness, Mr. President, I just got done checking out the parking situation. Could be expanded to include that, I guess I'd be very happy.
You would, please. Senator Pollan?
Mr. President, I would like to ask maybe that you expand that request slightly. I received information this past weekend that there is a check being made of all pioneers' homes. I'm not sure of the purpose of this. I'm having that checked out, and when I have a firm answer, I will report back to this body. But I'm convinced that it is not just the Anchorage Pioneers' home that is up against problems.
President,
Senator Tulip.
You know, just such off the top statements from people involved is that if you're a certain age, you're going to be moved out of the pioneer's home. If you're a pioneer until you hit that age, then I don't know what you are. But it's really coming to a real crux here, and we better get on top of it, because it's the argument, just like the Corps of Engineers and the old Bureau of Reclamation across the nation. We're coming between a social services approach involving federal funding and a straight state obligation for support of these programs, so that the federal government doesn't tell us what to do. And it better be decided this year by the legislature, telling the administration, those people over in social services, what we think about it, and being certain that they pay attention.
Senator Pollan?
Mr. President, Senator Cotulla is certainly correct, and I've had a recent conversation with the Commissioner of Health and Social Services, and I was very upset to receive the statement from her that long-term nursing patients had no place in the pioneers' homes in Anchorage, because I can see it then coming to all the pioneers' homes. And many of the pioneers are able when they enter the home, but when they become ill, then they're to be pushed out, away from their friends, away from what has become home to them. And this is very distressing to these elderly people. It's distressing to anyone, but it's particularly distressing to those folks, and I'm very, very concerned about it, as I'm sure Senator Cotulla is. And I'd like to see that looked into very much, if you would be so kind as to ask Senator Hackney to do so.
Senator Coretta, civil stand at ease.
Mr. President.
The Senate will come back to order. Senator Cotulla.
One step further on this, the present commissioner ought to be brought to task on it. It's absolutely contrary to the philosophy expressed by the administration in the past, and I think even the present government, certainly by the legislature. And she's really screwing up the works here, and it's going to get us in a lot of trouble quickly if you don't have a blue ribbon committee get into it immediately.
Well, I'll appoint a special committee consisting of Senator Hackney, chairman. Members will be Senator Ziegler, Sumner, Meland, and Poland to investigate into the eligibility and use of the pioneers' homes, present and proposed.
And a report to this legislature before adjournment.
Well, hopefully they can introduce a resolution report back or whatever is deemed appropriate under the circumstances. The Hackney, Senator Hackney chairman, members will be Senator Ziegler, Sumner, Meland, and Poland.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there any further unfinished business? Special orders? Announcements?
Mr. President, the Senate Resources Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30. We will be hearing from Mr. Lipton, and we will also take up the resolution on the Northwest Pipeline.
Senator Hackney.
Present health education and social travel to the Department of Education Pupil Transportation. President, tomorrow morning at 8:30, there will be a meeting of the Conference Committee on House Bill 132. That will be at 8:30 in Charlie Carter's office on the first floor. That's the Senate members were Hackman, Croft, Vancouver, and the House members were Carr, Rudd, and
Senator Willis?
Mr. President, representing all of the candidates here, no. It's clear that there'll be a sign of kind of regulation review committee meeting at 9:30 a.m. Thursday at the courthouse, room 647. Subject is senior service property tax.
Any further announcements? Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we'll be hearing the consultant on the capital, legislative finance, higher than last year. And then right after there, then we'll have the president of Northwest Pipeline Administration.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, if I might get part of Senator Willis, I think it's what the regulation is talking about. Departments have brought down only allowing a tax credit on a certain portion of the entire property.
Mr. President, I would assume that's it. I just got this note and I
did it.
So Senator Sumner tells me that it is.
Senator Petula.
There is a bill in here that alleviates that regulation.
Any further announcements? Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, a reminder, Democrats, Representative Terry Garden. Mr. President, I move that you have a consent and consent to adjourn.
Hearing no objection, it's so ordered.